From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Alan Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life. The text is verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1, where Paul emphasized that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. In the earlier part of the message, we saw that Paul rejoiced in the efficacy of the gospel, in the experience of the merits of Christ, and in the effects of the gospel in the lives of the Roman Christians. He testified that the gospel was the very core of his existence, the substance of his preaching, his praying, and his living. Now the apostle is describing the task God had laid upon him as Christ's servant. It was to lead men and women to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, evangelism is the first task of the church. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Lord Our Companion. The text is found in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sweet are these words in describing a deathbed assurance. How many have repeated them in their last hours with intense delight. But the verse is equally applicable to agonies of spirit in the midst of life. Some of us, like Paul, die daily through a tendency to gloom of soul. Bunyan puts the valley of the shadow of death far earlier in the pilgrimage than the river which rolls at the foot of the celestial hills. We have some of us traverse the dark and dreadful defile of the shadow of death several times, and we can bear witness that the Lord alone enabled us to bear up amid its wild thought, its mysterious horrors, its terrible depressions. The Lord has sustained us and kept us above all real fear of evil, even when our spirit has been overwhelmed. We have been pressed and oppressed, but yet we have lived, for we have felt the presence of the great Shepherd, and have been confident that his crook would prevent the foe from giving us any deadly wound. Should the present time be one darkened by the raven wings of a great sorrow, let us glorify God by a peaceful trust in him.
Faithful will remain.
Desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs at freepres.org. That's ltbs at freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Thank you. work of God, it is easy to be overcome with the detail and at times the drudgery. Paul says that much study is a weariness to the flesh. It is easy to be overcome by the toil, by the trouble, by the problems, by the burdens that God's people face and they bring to the pastor's office, quite rightly. It is easy to be weighed down with a ton weight of all these things and to lose that overwhelming sense, this is the grace of God. I could be out serving Satan tonight. I indeed, had it not been for the grace of God, I would already have been in hell tonight. And I ought never to forget that. Paul says this is grace. This is a gift of God. This is a privilege beyond definition, description, or conception that God would take me, the chief of sinners, and give me the privilege of preaching the good news of the gospel. And he says, as he did that, he gave me especially the privilege of being a minister to the Gentiles. To go to the offscouring of all flesh, to the heathen. To go to the utterly ungodly, the unclean and the defiled, the heathen. And tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. That's the gift that God has given to me. And he did it. Later in that 15th chapter, verse 19, he speaks of his ministry. And he says, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully the gospel of Christ. And in verse 29, he says, and I'm sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. This is what was filling Paul's heart as he expresses this great desire to visit Rome. It is the burden of the evangelist. It was something that was coming out of a vision of lost souls and the opportunity of seeing them saved. That was burning in Paul's heart. He wanted to do a work for God there. Later on, as we'll see when we get a little further, verse 13, he wanted to have fruit in Rome, even as among other Gentiles. Fruit. He longed to go there to see sinners saved. I've seen it everywhere else, he says. I want to see it in Rome. Oh, I would to God tonight that I could communicate to you and I could communicate to my own heart something of that mighty passion that filled the heart of Paul the Apostle. He lived for Christ. And therefore he lived to see sinners saved. And he didn't go after sinners just because they were poor, wretched, miserable, pitiable sinners. If that's the burden you have that leads you to go after sinners, you'll soon lose your burden. For when you get to those people face to face, you'll find that they are all that, but they are also most obnoxious, stubborn, rebellious, willfully wicked, and they are haters of God and of all who would speak to them of the things of God. If you would go after sinners, it has got to be not that they deserve it, but that Christ deserves it. If you're going to go out after the lost, it's got to be because the gospel itself has so emblazoned its message in your heart. You have become so utterly, totally, completely captivated by the thought, this is a glorious message. This is a powerful message. This is a divine message. This is a message that must be got out. You've got to be so captivated with that, that you'll go out and tell it. Oh, Paul had a burden evangelize. Such a burden. The church that loses the vision of evangelism has lost its reason to exist. I say that again. I know the church is for the fellowship of God's people. I know it is a stronghold of comfort, of mutual support in the things of God in the face of a world's opposition. Yes, that is all true. But the church that has lost the burden to evangelize will undoubtedly die the death. It's why you have so many dead Calvinistic churches. And I say that as a Calvinist. It's why you have so many dead fundamental churches. And I say that as a fundamentalist. You see, it's not the ist and the ism that will give the church its fire. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Let's look at ourselves. Have we become comfortable? Have we settled upon our lees? Are we just happy enough to come to God's house two or three times a week and say we have been fed well from the things of God? We've enjoyed the fellowship. Think of those words of the Lord Jesus we looked at in passing, really, last Sabbath morning. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Lift up your eyes. Look at the great cities of America. Will those cities be damned as Tyre and Sidon? Will they be wiped off the face of the earth and swept into hell as an everlasting testimony to their own wickedness and to the just judgment of a holy God? Will we sit back at ease in Zion? Without a vision, without a burden, without an attempt to reach them. Where are the young men in this church who will rise up and say, "Oh God, give me the privilege of being an evangelist. Give me the privilege of being a soul winner. Put fire in my heart. Put thunder in my very being that I will have to go and tell of Jesus Christ. I must evangelize. I must seek souls for Christ." You start where you are. If you wait until you get into a pulpit to try to win souls, you'll never win them. If you're not a witness for Christ in your own home, if you're not a witness for Christ in your place of business, if you're not a witness for Christ among the people among whom you move day by day, then you'll never be a witness anywhere else. Men and women, the task that Paul had was first evangelism. This is God's gift. You look across this congregation. I don't want to labor the point, but to be quite honest, I'm loath to leave it. You look across this congregation, so many still in the prime of life. In Northern Ireland, we have a saying about people who are very intelligent, they have brains to burn. Brains coming out of your ears. And I don't say that in any way facetiously. I mean, across this congregation, we have represented a wealth of God-given ability. You know, all the talent in the world is not worth that much. unless it is dedicated to Jesus Christ, governed by the gospel. I have seen people of very little talent do great things for God, extraordinary things for God, while those of great talent have been backsliding. I've often told you, the young man who was one of my best friends growing up, trophy of grace, an absolute trophy of grace, in the sovereignty of God, he was born with very little brain power. I'm not being mean. He had very little brain power. He could hardly have worked his way out of grade school. In fact, I doubt that he could really have worked his way out of grade school. To hear him read was to hear a child in a man's body stumbling over words. But to hear him pray. Now, it wasn't a child. It was a child of God, crying to God, give me power. To see him go out in the simplicity of what he knew of Jesus Christ and meet with sinners and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save, and reach out and win them when the rest of us were looking on. Remember what Robert Murray McShane, scholar and saint, had to say. It is not great talent that God blesses so much as great likeness to Christ. Oh, that we would catch the burden for evangelism. Because all that I have said is to say God can use anybody who is dedicated to him. But God has not brought the church forward through stupid people. Oh, he can use those kind of people. I'm very glad he can. If he didn't, it would be a hard job for me. But God does not. Paul was humanly a genius. He was the greatest of the apostles. Martin Luther was a genius. John Calvin was a genius. John Owen was a genius. Jonathan Edwards was a genius. McShane was a genius. The Bonner brothers were geniuses. Spurgeon was a genius. There is no premium on dullness or dumbness. What I'm saying to you tonight is, if God has blessed you with brains and with talent, oh, get on your knees before God and realize that the God who says he deprived the ostrich of basic common sense is the same God who has given you what you have. And he has given you it that you may put it on the altar for Christ. Evangelism, in all its forms, giving out the gospel, leaving a gospel tract, giving a word of testimony, inviting a sinner to the gospel meeting, going to say, don't say, I'll see you there, I'll bring you there. Opening up your home to bring sinners in, using your own board, your own table, to make it a place of evangelism. Whatever God puts upon your heart. But this is the thing. Paul looked out at the city and he said, I have got to win it for Christ. That's the first task of the Church of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.